Hi, I'm your host Nikki, and you're listening to the Juvenile Justice Information Exchange Resource Hub podcast, or what we like to call the JJIE Hubcast. Our aim is to bring often underrepresented issues in the juvenile justice system to light. This season is going to be dedicated to sharing information about immigrant youth in the juvenile justice system. We will talk about who are immigrant youth in America, how they are involved in the juvenile justice system, and what policies are working or recommended by experts in the justice field. For each episode, we will post a transcript with references to related resources for anyone who wants to follow up on any of the information we discuss. This episode will cover some information on how many immigrant youth are involved in the juvenile justice system, what are some of the causes for involvement, and what immigration consequences do youth face for involvement in the two systems. Research shows us that youth of color are more likely to be involved in the juvenile justice system. Some estimates say youth of color are 4.6 times more likely to be detained than their white peers. In 2017, one quarter of the juvenile justice system was Latino youth, an overrepresentation that is at least partially due to police bias. Finding data on how many undocumented immigrant youth are here in America is difficult, but the National Juvenile Justice Network places the number around 1 million. Measuring the number of undocumented youth involved in the juvenile justice system is also a challenge due to inadequate record keeping in the way juvenile justice authorities gather a child's information during intake. Okay, so first I want to start with a small history lesson about the formation of the juvenile justice system. The Center on Juvenile and Criminal Justice tells us that the primary motive of juvenile courts was confidentiality protection. This meant that youth could be held more accountable for their actions without undermining their future as productive adults in the community. In the transcript of this episode, you'll find a link to the page that explains more about the history of the juvenile justice system. Feel free to click it and explore and learn at your own leisure. For now, we're going to continue discussing confidentiality issues that arise when we talk about both citizen and non-citizen youth. For immigrant youth, both documented and undocumented, there are issues with information sharing that can cause harm to their futures. Next, we are going to talk about some informal information sharing practices that can lead law enforcement to target immigrant youth. For this episode, we are going to focus in on non-citizen and undocumented youth. For more information on how the juvenile justice system affects second-generation immigrant youth, I encourage you to head over to our JJIE Resource Hub to the Racial and Ethnic Fairness section when you get the chance. Okay, so school, delinquency, and immigration records are all critical aspects of an immigrant youth status here in the U.S. Sharing information between schools, institutions, and agencies can lead to negative consequences in immigration proceedings. According to the Immigrant Legal Resource Center's School to Deportation Pipeline report, non-citizen youth's future immigration status can be negatively affected by the sharing of confidential records. Arrest, adjudication, or convictions can all keep non-citizen youth from obtaining special immigrant juvenile status, U visas, and other options they may otherwise have. It's important to remember here that part of the foundation of the juvenile justice system is that records should remain confidential so that youth can be held responsible while still protecting their future as an adult. Sharing of school and/or delinquency records of immigrant youth with federal agencies that determine immigration status can lead to lifelong consequences for these kids. Interagency data sharing means that youth are not receiving the protections of the juvenile justice system. Some states have taken measures to decrease the amount of informal collaboration between ICE and state agencies. For some examples, we can look at California. California actually prohibits access to juvenile records, even with approval for access from an institution. Authorities must still have court approval to access juvenile records. California also limits sharing juvenile records with immigration officials unless a court approves. And then, right now, there are 17 states and the District of Columbia that have criminal reprimands for informal sharing of juvenile records. And two states have civil procedures. However, there are still 33 states that do not have any consequences for the breach of confidentiality by informal sharing of juvenile records. Another issue with sharing information is the type of databases that are used to monitor children. The use of interagency sharing and hyper-monitoring at-risk students have led to national gang databases that can be used to flag high-risk youth as possible gang members. The Immigrant Legal Resource Center defines gang databases as, quote, gang information tracking systems that are used to track and share alleged gang affiliation and membership, end quote. The use of gang databases has increased since the widespread use of computers, which allows law enforcement to more broadly share information on a larger population of people. The databases are usually disproportionately made up of individuals who live in lower socioeconomic status neighborhoods, and often the neighborhoods have a large population of immigrants within the community. The ILRC also published a study of immigration attorneys and their perception of the use of gang accusations against immigrants. 79% of those respondents had at least one immigration case involving gang allegations. 50% of respondents felt that the use of gang allegations is increasing. In Deportation by Any Means Necessary by the Immigrant Legal Resource Center, it is noted that attaching gang allegations to youth makes it easier for the government to deport them because the individual becomes a target of the Department of Homeland Security. Gang-related investigations and convictions make non-citizens ineligible for various types of immigration relief. Gang allegations can also lead to detainment of individuals, which has negative consequences when fighting deportation. Finally, immigration decisions are discretionary in nature, and allegations, detainment, or the perception of criminality can negatively impact any credibility determination made by a judge. One major issue with gang databases, especially because being included in one can have such severe consequences for youth, and in this case, immigrant youth, is that there are very loose criteria to land a person on this list. Anything from social media posts, tattoos, clothing, and school records can be used to place an individual in a gang database. Police field notes, reports, and testimonies can be used to further cases against youth in immigration proceedings, and gang databases are also harmful due to the nature of their consequences and the lack of oversight, review, and transparency. NJJN explains the dangers of gang databases in the following way. Quote, because law enforcement agencies often create gang databases for intelligence purposes, the information in the database need not be tied to a youth's arrest, conviction, or even an investigation. Many youth are unaware that they have even been placed on a gang database unless they wind up in court. And once they find out, there is generally no process for removal. All of these issues have made gang databases notoriously unreliable. End quote. One recommendation to help combat the harmful nature of gang databases, if a state is not going to eliminate the database, that is to enact oversight through a state agency, but not a law enforcement agency. For example, we can also see California's AB 90 legislation for more insights on how to address gang database issues. And there's a link provided in the transcript to the California AB 90 information. Okay. Let's take a moment to recap all of that. Confidentiality in the juvenile justice system is a fundamental aspect of youth corrections. The system was founded to hold youth accountable but preserve their opportunity to have a successful future. Also, confidentiality in undocumented youth cases is crucial to their immigration proceedings. And the juvenile justice system right to confidentiality still applies to non-citizen youth. Gang databases are being used to target immigrant youth, and the outcome can mean deportation or criminalization. So, this episode, we have covered how information sharing can target immigrant youth and can lead to their involvement in the juvenile justice system. Our next episode is going to dive into what are the experts telling us is working? Or what should we be doing to protect immigrant youth in the United States? Remember, you can find the transcript and review related resources at jjie.org. jjie.org/hub. And I'm your host, Nikki, and you've been listening to the JJIE Hubcast.